This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For the full show and archives, visit jodcast.net.
This month in the news. With the latest season of the Formula One now underway, we will once again spend the next month marvelling at some of the fastest cars on the Earth. But as much as racing around a circuit at speeds exceeding 300 kilometres per hour may be unimaginable for most of us, this is nothing compared to what some stars in our own Milky Way have to offer. The newest data collected with the help of the Australia Telescope Compact Array and NASA's Chandra X-ray Observatory and NuSTAR confirms the previous findings of the 2015 study, which showed the first evidence for the existence of a low-mass X-ray binary in a dense and massive globular cluster 47 Tucani. At the distance of around 4.5 kiloparsecs, that is almost 15,000 light-years away from the Earth. Called X9, it is the brightest X-ray source in the core of this globular cluster. It is currently believed to be an ultra-compact binary consisting of a white dwarf and a black hole. And the white dwarf is a champion of speed. Light curves obtained with the help of the facilities mentioned before showed that it orbits its host solar mass black hole once every 28 minutes and 10 seconds. With the separation between the two components of 2.5 of Earth-Moon distances, the white dwarf travels at the speeds of more than 3,570 kilometers per second, or around 1.2% the speed of light, a speed most unimaginable for most of us. Scientists were previously uncertain of the true nature of the objects that make up this binary. Previous data pointed towards a white dwarf pulling matter from a sun-like star in its orbit. But the 2015 discovery of a black hole in the system by Dr. Miller-Jones and his team gave the first indication of the real composition of the system. New data and careful simulations allowed scientists to find new evidence to support the theory of white dwarf black hole binary, which is currently the first and the only one of its kind identified in our galaxy. Well, now we are going to Mars. We think that we're going. Maybe, possibly. Nobody really knows. On Tuesday, the 21st of March, US President Donald Trump signed S.442, National Aeronautics and Space Administration Transition Authorization Act of 2017, the first authorization act for NASA signed in 7 years. For most of the text, the current government reflects on the current position of NASA, its past achievements and programs already underway. NASA is encouraged to work with its industrial partners in order, and I quote here, improve its efficiency and effectiveness, and to streamline existing programs and requirements, procurement practices, institutional footprint, and bureaucracy, while preserving effective program oversight, accountability, and safety. The importance of the International Space Station is recognized, and the United States will aim, after consultations with other participating nations, to operate it until at least 2024, when the station will have been operational for 26 years, more than 2.5 times the lifespan of its direct predecessor, the Mir space station. And there is also possibility of extending the lifetime of the ISS until at least 2028. The document, however, notes that NASA should not rely on its international partners to send astronauts to and back from the International Space Station and therefore devote a significant amount of effort to the development of a system capable of safely delivering the astronauts to the low Earth orbit. The Commercial Crew Program, which brings NASA and its industrial partners such as SpaceX or Blue Origin together, is scheduled to achieve this goal by the end of 2018, so in less than 2 years' time. However, it is the section on the Advancing Human Deep Space Exploration that drew the most attention, as it describes the path towards the Moon, Mars, and asteroids that NASA will take in the years to come. The document states again that NASA should work closely with members of the private industry, its international partners, and academics all around the world in order to reach Mars. Space Launch System and the Orion spacecraft remain the government's preferred transportation system, and the Authorization Act sets a timeline for the development and testing phases of the new vehicle, with the first unmanned mission in 2018 and the first manned mission by 2021. Many people have hoped for a stronger support for the plan that would eventually take humans straight to Mars by the mid-2030. The new administration, however, strongly emphasizes the need for the cislunar mission first, with missions to the orbit and later the surface of Mars in the years afterwards. This can be a disappointment for those hoping for NASA to be pushed towards focusing all its efforts on the manned mission to Mars and skipping the lunar exploration. Some experts are of the opinion that returning to the Moon will slow the whole program down, not contribute significantly to the developments of any new technologies and procedures, and will only mean less time and money for the actual mission to Mars. On the other side of the barricade are those who see sending humans to the orbit around the Moon as an essential step that will allow us to test the technology and develop new safety procedures during much shorter and less dangerous missions. Both camps have one thing in common, though. None of these plans can come true if the level of funding that NASA receives remains at the current levels. With the funding for 2017 at little over $19.5 billion, NASA will have to show a level of scrutiny, cuts, and money management never before seen at the agency in order to be able to fund the ambitious plans for the human deep space exploration laid down by the new government and its other scientific programs, including the James Webb Space Telescope and the Earth Science Division. The new administration also requested $30 trillion for the construction of a wall around the Earth at the low Earth orbit in order, and we quote here, keep these pesky aliens away and control the flow of extraterrestrials. The Galactic Senate is expected to pay the whole price. Despite what many people can think, science is not only about big academic institutions and government organizations with arguably large sums of money at their disposal. In the current age, when we can access huge databases halfway across the globe at the click of the button, everyone can contribute. Astronomy Rewind is the newest so-called citizen science project launched as part of the Zooniverse platform, which should be well known amongst our listeners for Galaxy Zoo, now almost a decade-long project aimed at the classification of a vast number of galaxies, and our very own Jodrell Bank-launched, more recent but not less successful, Pulsar Hunters. This new project looks at an often neglected problem in astronomy, the preservation of old images and data. As we have newer, faster, and more accurate instruments at our disposal, we very often forget about older data taken over the course of decades that can still offer valuable information, even though it can be centuries old. The first round of Astronomy Rewind will focus on finding and creating a database and ultimately preserving figures from papers found in the journals published by the American Astronomical Society. The extracted images will be later released to the public and incorporated in the Worldwide Telescope, an open-source software first developed by Microsoft Research and now managed by the AAS, which offers a set of tools for visualizing the astronomical data and the digital sky map. This particular project does not require any technical knowledge. The volunteer is presented with an image which has to be classified using a small selection of criteria. As anyone can really distinguish between a table or a single figure or multiple figures and whether they have axes or not, this is truly a project that every person passionate not only about astronomy, but also history can help with. So get your friends and start classifying right now.